Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy Thursday, everybody. It's Dukes and Bill, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are going to take a few more calls here, as some of you have been holding on like Dirty Chick April.
Excuse me?
Dirty Chick April.
That's a hell of a sobriquet.
Excuse me?
Falcons reference, guys. Falcons.
Oh, no, it's French for nickname. What do you think I meant?
I wasn't sure, but 404-726-0929. You can check us out and certainly call in. Yeah, man, she was holding on, and before we get into some NFL stuff, we got some Falcon news on the way. More on Chipper and Mike, and I literally mean that because that's kind of what it turned into last night, even though, by the way, can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I was going to tell you this off the air. I'm going to tell you on the air. Glad you didn't respond.
Yeah, I was watching movies last night.
And I'm glad you were.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No, but I mean, I think my reaction last night, I mean, it was Becky's out of town, just me and the dogs, and like I was sitting there like, you know, now granted, if I was into like some brown liquor, yeah, I might have gotten sideways. But yeah, I just love Chipper. We always talk about how much respect we have for Chipper, and I get the connection, but I just think he's coming from the wrong place. It's not a personal shot at Brian Snicker. Our Bobby Cox. Who else do you compare Brian Snicker to? The two managers that most of our audience have covered watching this Braves team, the two managers have gone farther in the postseason than any other baseball manager in this town. So it's just a logical comparison. So it wasn't like malicious.
Yeah.
But I mean, people do feel it was over the top for Chipper to call me a talentless clown gas bag about it.
Clown gas bag.
And I guess he also takes offense because he was part of that generation that underachieved with Bobby Cox.
Well, no doubt. I mean, look, they all know, those guys in that clubhouse,
right.
Every great team has those moments where when those guys get back together or they see one another, it's like, man, you know what, we should have won at least two more, whatever the conversation might be. All right, let's talk to Dirty Chick April.
great name.
It is. April, welcome in. What are your thoughts on this, April?
So here is my thought. So yes, the Dirty Chick is in reference to the Dirty Birds. I'm the Dirty Chick.
I love it.
Yeah. And the 23 Falcons fan of the year. But anyway.
Hey.
So I feel as though great is not always associated with championships, right? It's all about when I was growing up, I used to want Bobby Cox to be my granddad, right?
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, I always said, like, he had, like, a grandpa face. So I always considered him to be, like, my granddad. And when I used to, you know, play baseball or whatever, and we had our teams in our neighborhood, you know, some people was, you know, Dale Murphy or Chipper Jones or whatever. But then we also had managers, Bobby Cox. I feel as though his name and his association with the Braves is always going to make him great and a step above any other manager that comes behind him. So he's the greatest to me. That's how I feel.
Yeah, no, and dirty Chick April. I think a lot of people feel that way. And if you were to say what's the pecking order, I think it's simple. It's Bobby Cox and everybody else, right? And Snick's two.
Right.
But I don't think that is – anybody's, if you want to debate it, you can. It's not debatable. Again, five World Series, you win one, all the winning. Like, he was the guy that, at least the face, Mike, of this takeoff that happened with the Braves, right?
And there's the connection there.
And in the 80s, by the way, just real quick, we say this all the time. If you've been a lifer or you've watched the Braves, and my dad's right from right around the corner, Braves are not that great in the 80s, okay? They just weren't. And all of a sudden, the 90s come and you go, phew, and you take off. Bobby Cox is a part of the face of that. So April, we're with you on that. I don't know if anybody really is debating that. It's more so what Mike was talking about, which was the criticism in saying, hey, did he do more with less or less with more?
Right. And just felt that, you know, because again, for instance, when John Charles was calling the shots, it was all about pitching. You know, Alex Anthopoulos does not invest in pitching, whether that comes from management or that's just his own philosophy is how you build a ball club. You know, you had nothing but solid pitching. And it didn't, you know, stop when Maddux left. We talked about it. I mean, you had, you know, Millwood and Denny Nagel. There was a guys right. always rolling through here that were just rock solid. I mean, you had four killer starters. This guy started every season, Brian Snicker, with two and a half. He was a constant yo-yo between Gwinnett and picking up guys like Kevin Gausman or Dallas Keuchel. Look, we can go, and my beef is getting to the World Series. You could have gotten more, and the odds would have increased on your chance of winning a World Series
if
you do better in the NLCS or NLDS. We can now, if you want to talk about Snicker, guys were bringing up yesterday that 2019 NLDS, I would have probably started Max Fried, your best pitcher that season. In game one. Now, I'm going to go back and look to see if Fried did pitch late in that season, and that's why they went with Dallas Keuchel. But at the end, we were stuck with Faulty getting smacked, humiliated in probably the worst game five beatdown in NLDS history.
No doubt. All right, man. More on this as we move through the show today, but we got to talk some NFL. Let's get to 4th and 1. We do get Thursday Night Football tonight, but before we get to that, congratulations to Bijan Robinson being named the NFC Offensive Player of the Month. He's special, guys, and he's being recognized as much. Now, the other thing we found out today, Mike, Xavier Watts named NFL Defensive Player of the Month.
How about that?
Look, these are great, a recognition of our players, and it's fun, Mike, because this is the thing we've been missing. Like, even when the teams are good, we talk about star power. Mm. We need people to recognize guys on this team and know, hey, oh, that's a Falcon. Oh, that dude, he plays in Atlanta. That's what this is about. Now, they're playing great. We know, you know, Bijan had a great month, obviously. Right. Xavier Watts, 2 interceptions, guys. His first career interception, obviously, and then last week he had one. But this is good for us.
And again, credit to Terry Fontenot. I mean, again, guys, don't want to be a one-note guy on Fontenot. He's really done some great things in the defensive drafts the last 2 years. We had high hopes for Billy. I mean, we talked about Bowman, and we talked certainly about Xavier Watts. So, defensive rookie of the year of the month.
Of the month.
And then you've got Bijan, who's just killing it and being a superstar, doing superstar stuff. So, this is, you know, again, coup, make the kick. We get into overtime. Take your chances against the Bucs, the Carolinas. Hopefully that's the only game we look that bad all season. But that's why, I mean, the only thing you'd say is, wow, you got two of those guys, you'd be 3-1.
Easily.
that's the only downside to those accolades.
No doubt. Tonight, Thursday Night Football, 49ers 3-1, Rams 3-1, Rams 8.5-point favorite. That went up from yesterday, didn't it, fellas? So it was 7.5. It's now 8.5. 49ers without Brock Purdy, Juwan Jennings, Ricky Purcell.
Oh, we should have took it at 7.
I know. This is crazy.
Let's get back in the time machine. We'll stop 9/11 and we'll bet this game and we'll take the 7.
So here's the thing. Like, all their playmakers are out. I think it's Mac Jones, right, who's starting tonight. But, look, it wouldn't surprise me if the 49ers keep this within 7. It just wouldn't. It's a division game. You never know how these things shake out, but we'll see how that shakes out tonight. That is a Thursday night game.
Hey, I mean, don't you just – easier said than done. You just put all your eggs in stopping Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, and by the way, they're not running the football great. That's the other part about the 49ers when you talk about what's going on with their offense. It's not just the injuries. They're not running the ball like they normally do, which is the reason why Shanahan is not having the success with the offense that he'd like to have. Meanwhile, Mike, the big news, Dylan Gabriel is going to start. He talked about Joe Flacco's support. So do you think Flacco supports him more than he supported Shedeur Sanders?
Oh, how would you know?
I don't know. Here's what he said.
What I appreciate about Joe is just it's not his job to be a mentor. You know, it's his job to be a great quarterback. And I think just his openness to answer questions. You know, it's my job to ask questions, right, and search for those answers. But having guys like, you know, him, Deshaun in the room, I think guys that just have played a bunch of ball. So appreciate him for that, and you know, he's a captain on this team. He's still a huge piece of what we do, and we look to him for a lot of things because he's been through it a bunch. So I think there's a ton of respect there for me, and a guy I definitely look up to, and you know, it's going to be important to have that, you know, going into this week.
Get the feedback. I mean, it's tough, as we say, you know, if you're Chris Chandler, you don't want to help Steve McNair. And maybe you felt lukewarm about helping Mike Vick because you're trying to grind out a few more years in the league.
Yeah.
But I think at this stage for Flacco, this has got to be it. And so you don't, maybe you don't, you know, maybe you don't embrace it with two arms, but you'll help out in the mentor role a little bit, right?
No doubt. Flacco talked about helping Dylan Gabriel. He will start for the Browns. They are overseas. That game's in London. It's early Sunday. Here is Flacco.
I think the best way to help him is just continue to come to work, you know, with a good mindset every day and provide that positive energy and, you know, see what he needs on his end.
So now everybody there is saying he's ready, he's ready, he's ready to be a starter. Mike, did you have any problems with the thing we talked about yesterday with Shador not saying anything? The whole mime thing where his mouth's moving but he's not saying anything?
I just
don't
know what he's supposed to say because, you know, whatever he says he's going to get killed for.
I agree.
Because there's so many people that have built up so much bad juju on this guy. So that's why I said to Carl, I mean, like, I don't want to wish an injury to Dylan Gabriel, but we're probably not going to find out what Shador Sanders is in Cleveland. You know, I don't know how they – are they going to hold on to him and let him languish on the bench forever? Or is he going to get his shot somewhere? Because, as I said, one way or the other, I would just love – because I don't know. I mean, I was always like everyone else. I was surprised he fell as far as he did. You know, we heard those rumblings, you know, pre-draft that maybe he's not going to be a first-rounder, but never to what where it went. I'd just like to see what this guy can be one way or the other with a bunch of starters around him.
I agree. His coach, Kevin Stefanski, guys, talked about Dylan is ready to do this.
From the second he's been here, he's been working very hard, very intelligent young man. He's done a nice job throughout practice. This whole season, he's been learning how to get yourself ready and understand the rhythm of an NFL week and what that looks like as a backup. And obviously now feel like he's ready to go in as a starter.
All right.
He had a bunch of rushing touchdowns. He rushed for 33 touchdowns in his college career. So he can pick him up, put him down. Shador was running for his life, in Colorado in the backfield before uncorking some of those throws.
No offensive line. What else is going on? Travis Kelce chimed in on the A.J. Brown frustrations. This was interesting.
You're 4-0, boss. Come on, man. It's frustrating for A.J. right now, clearly, because he's going to social media to let everybody know how frustrated he is. And where I show my frustration is when we're not rolling as an offense. And I think it's frustration. It's the desire to get it fixed.
Yep.
It's also really hard for me to get mad when we're winning. I think I don't find that energy or that feeling in me if we're winning, if we're having success, if we're putting up points, if we're winning football games.
Yeah, man, I know that A.J. Brown, he's got a right to beef, but you know when you got Saquon Barkley, it's pretty much the run game. Unless he's the $32 million decoy, and Devontae Smith says, I'll take it from here.
Yeah.
Tight end is always such a big part of that offense as well. What would you say about a guy getting torched by Puka Nacua and then calling it quits?
Is that what happened?
I don't know. Xavier Howard abruptly retires. He says it's family over football. Signed with the Colts. He's 32, but Puka had a big day. 13 for 170 and a touchdown.
Question.
On Sunday. I don't know. I read some stuff today on social media. We were talking about it on the pre-show that he's also God's come into his life. Did God come into his life after this game? Wow. It's kind of like the old Deacon Jones line. Don't pray to God. Pray to me.
Pray to me.
Because I hold your future in my hands. Talking about quarterbacks.
Mike, do you still think that there is a chance now we're about to be 5 weeks in that Cousins remains on this team through the rest of the season?
The Bengals seem like the most viable spot, but the Brown family, the Brown family who owns them are so cheap that it just, I just can't get my head around him going to Cincinnati. But are you going to waste all that investment with Jamar Chase and T. Higgins? You know, you finally came to terms with your best defensive player to keep him around, and you're just going to let it die on the vine until Burrow comes back? I would make the call. And maybe unless the rumor, see, we don't know what the Falcons are asking. Are the Falcons, you got to give me $10 million. You got to eat a chunk of this 25. I don't know.
Zach Taylor.
Or 45, sorry, 45.
Yes,
check that.
Zach Taylor, the coach, was asked about bringing in another quarterback. He said they're not.
Well, good luck with that.
So that's why I'm asking you. That is the Bengals head coach. They feel like they can get through this bumpy road.
Mm.
All right, man. Fourth and One's brought to you by Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. We are coming back. We got some college football news we got to talk about. Barbara Dooley's going to join us at 4 o'clock. But yesterday, some news hit. Mike and I discussed it briefly, but it seems like this is gaining traction and what it might mean for college football. Stay right there. It's Duke.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on the team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bill. Sports Radio 92.9. The Game is your home for live college football coverage. Saturday, 8 a.m. We get the day started with college football game time brought to you by Window Nation. Visit windownation.com and by Alumni Hall. Shop all your favorite teams, guys. It's where fans shop. Fricky, Go Forth, Gordon, that's Abe Gordon, and Gary Chapman to start the day off with the big matchups, talking about all the things. Then at 11:30, we get the doubleheader started. Clemson at North Carolina. By the way, Belichick won 5 games this year. Belichick won 5 games?
He's got Clemson this week.
Yeah.
What was he? I think the over-under was 5, right? Was it 4.5?
I think
it was. I have to go back and look.
Yeah. I'm just I'm curious. I think Clemson will be fine this weekend. I'm just thinking about Belichick. And then that game's going to be followed by Texas at
it's a topic
Florida.
Neither one of them is comfortable commenting on.
Saturday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yeah. While we're talking college football, we're going to have Barbara Dooley on at 4 o'clock here. So stay tuned, and we'll find out what Barbara thought about the Dogs lost to Alabama, and also looking ahead to Kentucky. Mike, we mentioned this yesterday, this Big Ten thing. They're in discussion with the private capital, to infuse at least $2 billion into the league and its schools. Oren, I want to bring you in because you were saying something about this to us earlier in regards to what this may mean if, in fact, this happens. The discussions include a 10-year extension of the league's grant of rights until 2046. The reason why this is so interesting and intriguing is if this happens, guys, I think the other Power 3 are going to have to do something like this to keep up with what's going on. Real quick, what did you want to add to this?
So Darren Revelle, sometimes much maligned Darren Revelle, but he tweeted out earlier about if this deal goes through, the NCAA is going to implode with it. Other than running championships, which can be done at a fraction of the cost, there's no point anymore for the NCAA. Also talked about, too, if this goes through, you won't have athletes or student-athletes anymore whatsoever. They will just strictly be athletes. Getting kids to go to class anymore, that's not going to happen because the money that's going to be infused in athletics will be solely having them focus on just being an athlete.
Interesting. Okay, I know many of us feel that way already.
Right.
But that's a whole nother side that I hadn't even thought about,
right,
to be honest with you.
They've talked about, and I was, because you read about, you know, private equity and you know, Wall Street basically getting involved in the business of sports. And they want to get their fingers all over the NFL. You know, and again, if you're a fan and it brings accountability and maybe your ownership is a little bit, you know, for instance, the Falcons. You know, if Arthur had issues with his business, which he doesn't, and he had to, you know, sell some, and somebody comes in as a majority partner, I mean, but that's never going to happen. I mean, that's rare. In the case of college, but you do bring people in that are bottom line driven. You think analytics is pervasive in sports? That's all Wall Street is.
Right.
Is analytics. So I said yesterday with you guys, I was like, so maybe they come in and they go, well, yes, we'll have a tier of, because they're going to want like tier pricing. Ohio State, Michigan, you get this, and Oregon, you know, and then what is USC a level lower? And then by the time you get to Purdue, yeah, or Northwestern or Rutgers, then how do they even compete? And then when does this private equity firm say, you know, we've done the numbers, we're not getting the traction with Purdue and Northwestern and Rutgers, so maybe we cut them loose. You know, and tell me that is not a possibility. I mean, because you're looking for the best product, the best return on investment.
I think it's all on the table, Mike, if in fact this happens. And the irony is Ohio State and Michigan are still in discussions. They're the ones, everybody else is like, let's go. They're like, let's talk
about
this.
Well, I mean, if private equity came into the ACC, what happens to Wake Forest and Boston College?
Bye-bye.
Exactly. Sorry.
Well, especially if what O is saying is true. Listen, a lot of these universities and institutions are only in these conferences because of the academic credibility they bring,
right,
to certain conferences. The Big Ten has always believed that they're smarter than everybody else. Fine. But when you throw in Vandy into the SEC, Mike, that's always been the argument, right? It raises the GPA. It's the Harvard of the South.
Right.
You start talking about some of these schools where the academic standards are one of the reasons why they've remained in the conference despite their lack of championships athletically. If that goes away, then why do I need them in my conference?
Right. You know, that's the thing. ACC could have had West Virginia for years. They didn't want them. Felt they were below their standards. Not bringing West Virginia, not bringing hillbillies on a tobacco road.
Right.
You know, so that's all part of it.
Yeah. It's just an interesting thing to think about. I said yesterday, and I'll tell you guys again, because this happened at the end of the show.
I just think it's a bad
separation. I don't like it.
I like a separation of church and chicken. I wish Chick-fil-A was open on Sunday. Yeah. I wish that private equity could get their greasy, you know, mitts off of our favorite sports.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of this. Maybe you are. You can tell us 404-726-0929. But this would give, I think, the Big Ten a significant financial advantage over the SEC.
The question is, I guess, how would it affect the SEC? All those are the scenarios. I mean, because remember, last year FSU was threatening, or somebody, some booster said, we'll go get private equity.
Yeah.
So what happens if they don't like the way the program's going? They're going to make you fire the coach?
Yeah.
I mean, you get a call from, you know, Merrill Lynch or whoever, and they say he's got to go.
Or you
better find some more. Or did they make you take resources from other programs? I don't even know how that would work.
I think, Mike, as long as the conference is doing well, they're going to be making money, right? It's not solely one school. This is not an investment into Ohio State, and therefore, if Ohio State sucks, then you want to fire Ryan Day. If the conference as a whole, this investment is into the conference, and the conference is doing well, then it's going to bode well for everybody who's making money. But I hear you. Like, I get a sense like those are decisions that are down the road that you could get to, because you could say somebody sitting at a big table, hey, look at this investment. We need to change a few things.
Well, that's just it.
And who says no to the $2 billion infusement of cash?
I mean, why do you think like a Gordon Gekko type or his group?
Greed is good.
They're getting into this for laughs? For the betterment of college football?
No, they see the money.
Return on investment.
Yeah.
Big friggin' vultures, man. You want bloodsuckers running your league? No way.
It's crazy, guys. And again, that's just one of the stories. Something else, and I know we weren't going to talk about this because Barber's coming on at 4. Did you see what Vandy's quarterback was talking about with Alabama?
What's Diego Pavia saying now?
Well, look, he's got a big ego, and rightfully so.
He backs it up.
Yeah, he does. But he was just talking about the fact that, you know, they've done this already. They've beaten Alabama, and if they play up to their capability, this game won't be close. That's what I'm being serious. That's what he said about this game.
The last guy to run his lip, but he backed it up with grip, was Tommy Castellanos about taking on Alabama.
Yeah.
But
what was it, Saban can't?
They got Saban to save them this time.
That's right. That's right.
And I remember all the Alabama players reacted to SEC media. We'll speak with our words. Actually, well, it didn't happen. But Vandy, man. By the way, how many are you still going to get 30,000 Bama fans into Vandy? With all the upgrades?
It's in Tuscaloosa.
Never mind. Then that's a given.
Yeah.
How many Vandy fans will infiltrate Brian Denny?
Well, remember, that was the crazy thing. I think the stadium was under construction last year, if I remember, and it was like
it had a
high school stadium.
And it was like no vibe, which I think, not to make excuses, but it's kind of like what happened to Tech that first half against Wake.
Yeah.
You know, you had like, you know, 15,000 people watching you play. As Carl just said, if this was at Nashville,
I would.
But again, even you still have 30,000 Bama fans, being at Bryant Denny, I'm not going to touch it.
Well, here's the thing. I don't know if it's fool's gold or not. That Bama offense was efficient last week. Now, I know they didn't score in the second half, and I don't know if Vandy's defense can make the adjustments that Georgia did to slow them down. But Mike said it, even though they didn't score, they still ate clock. They still had long drives in the game, even though it didn't result in points. But if Alabama comes out like that and Ty Simpson's throwing the ball around and they're doing all that, it's going to be tough for, I think, Vandy to stop.
I'm trying to apologize. While you're speaking, I'm not trying to ignore you. I'm trying to find Jalen Milroe's game log for last year and see how bad he was.
Well, remember, what is it, 28-0? They jumped out on Georgia, I believe it was, at one point, a 28-7 or something of that nature. But, yeah, man, look, Vandy's 16th in the country. The rating or the rankings right now, you
18 to 24 for 310, a touchdown.
And he ran for one.
Right.
I believe. But my point is, to Day-Day about taking them, this is like a sucker. Like, you look at this and you go, Alabama, 10.5, they're going to kill Vandy. I don't know about that. I've said this. I do think this is a one, maybe, you know, this is not a 21-point blowout. And if it is, that means Vandy turned it over and they did all the things that they haven't done yet. They are 5-0, 1-0 in the SEC. But if they go on the road and beat Alabama, Mike, they got to be taken seriously.
Right. I think that this game, now I'm thinking, does DeBoer Does DeBoer use that as the bulletin board material about how they were embarrassed, how things went off the tracks?
I would. That's
different team, different team. As you talked about, last year's team was undisciplined, thought it was a free ride now that, you know, Saban was gone. Does he even go down that road? I don't know.
I'll tell you another good one in the SEC. I mean, look, Miss State at Texas A&M. Day-Day was on this last week about Miss State, and I think that's one of the teams, like, you can sleep on them. That's a pretty talented team. I think they're way better than people expect, even though A&M's a big favorite at home. All right, we're going to give you our official picks, by the way, tomorrow on the show. Coming up, what's on Day-Day's mind? Barbara Dooley at 4 o'clock, Mike Griffith from Dog Nation at 5. We'll talk to him about all the things we've been discussing with Georgia and what changes does he think they need to make as they move forward and they get Kentucky this weekend. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're just giggling about a story you'll hear coming up in an hour in Guy Talk about when will they find a revenue stream the NFL will not try to dive into?
I don't think there is one. Tell me what you tell our audience, what you were just telling me about tonight's game. Thursday Night Football.
Right.
We've got it for you. 7:30 pregame kicks at 8:15. It's 49ers and Rams. The over-under in this, because again, the number has gone up with the 49ers being banged up as much as they are.
Right. 8.5-point dogs at the Rams in L.A. But they'll be all 49er fans in SoFi because sure, they take over. But the over-under, Carl and I were just looking at during the commercial break, Vegas is begging you to take the over at 43.5. And I say, don't do it. Because we're just looking at some of the stats. 49ers are giving up under 19 points a game. And in the passing game, 49ers are allowing just 165 yards a game. So, I mean, if you're looking for the Rams, I mean, if you
Robert Saleh,
the Rams are going to try to, you know, get things cooking in the passing game with Matthew Stafford and Nacua and company. So, I just maybe the under is the player. You and I think they're just not going to touch it.
No, it's because these are the wacky games. You go all in on the Rams. Right. Day-Day, you want the Rams tonight? You can go ahead and pick them. No,
because but the thing is, I went on the under on the Falcons, thinking that offense is still dysfunctional. Drake has a monster day.
34 points.
Bijan does his thing. They had the cover like 5 minutes into the fourth quarter,
and that's. Oh, for sure. But that's what I'm saying about this is the NFL, guys. I know it sounds crazy, but San Francisco will find a way to score some points, and then you're like, wait a minute. But it should be an entertaining game from the standpoint of it's a divisional game, and San Francisco knows they're going to get a bunch of these guys back healthy. They're going to try and steal one tonight in L.A. All right, more NFL coming up as we have news about the Falcons as they are getting ready to hopefully improve some things during this bye week, Mike. And they won't play on Sunday. They'll get back to work next week, and then obviously we get a chance to see them on Monday night. But I can't wait for the Bills to come in here. And it sucks because, I'll say this real quick before we get to Day-Day, after a win like that, you just want to keep it moving. Like, right, you want to keep it rolling. We knew the bye was there, but was like, man, the offense looks so good. Who would he got next week? Oh, we're on a bye. It was like,
Yeah, man, I was talking to a buddy of mine, Gerald, at the gym, who said, by the way, he didn't think that I was a gas bag. More on what Chipper had to say about me coming up.
Yes, clown? And what are you going to do about it, you big gas bag?
No, he said, maybe a clown, but okay, definitely not a gas bag.
Okay.
But no, Gerald was saying to me, and with something that you and I were talking about, why didn't they have the offensive coordinator try the sidelines in the preseason? See how it works. Maybe get a feel for it. Just a thought.
Okay, I love it.
He agreed with our takes on that.
Good. I'm glad he did, and hopefully you do. Mm-hmm. We'll get back to that coming up here. Day-Day, what's on your mind, man?
All right, well, first off, I want to give a shout-out to King's Ridge alum and former NFL wide receiver Penny Hart.
Congratulations.
You shouldn't have left the damn conference, yeah, USC.
Can you say the footprint goes from Southern California to New Jersey? Yeah, so there's going to be some airfare.
Okay.
Right. But I get a kick, Day-Day, because people are like, well, why don't they just stay on the East Coast? Well, they are college kids. I know we've totally forgot. Oh, by the way, it's lost in private equity and all the billions of dollars coming in. They are supposed to be student athletes. So, yeah, why can't USC, Oregon, yeah, just, you know, rent a hotel and practice some high school field in Ohio or something. Right.
It is. Look, they knew this is what was crazy to college football fans. It's such a regional thing and has been forever to think that USC and UCLA were going to be playing Rutgers, playing Wisconsin
on Friday nights,
playing, seriously, playing Penn State. Like, it just didn't make sense to college football fans. So when, the Pac-12 dissolved and you were like, yeah, but they get to go play who? They get to go play. Like, that's the part that we still have to a hard time wrapping our minds around. But it is what it is, man. And the money is so big now. Look, we said this when it went down. They're not concerned about – Dan Lanning's talking about the travel. They got the finances to do it. No, nobody's complaining about this because the money that's involved. It is, though, and Mike's right, class. What class?
Right.
You just got back from a trip last week, and now you're right back on a plane because you want to get in a day early. Like – all of that stuff, man, and I'm not telling you they don't have tutors and all that stuff. And, guys, right. They still take tests. They take them late. But the reality is this is the job. That's what's going on.
I don't think anyone really cares about midterms now when you're doing a college playoff all the way through the month of January, too. Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what? We used to laugh because guys would come in one and dones. You had half a semester. You came out of high school, you went to college, you played in the fall, in the spring you were getting ready for the NBA. Right. You had half a semester of school, and we used to laugh at that. What's going on now in football?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I was going to say the demand, and Carl and I were joking around about what the NCAA going to. I mean, if you're looking to get a job, the NCAA is probably hiring because you need hundreds of people to do this. And the last couple of years, half the folks left the NCAA to become compliance officers at all different schools. Right?
That's right. Yeah.
So who's doing the investigating? Who's signing off on these deals?
You're saying it's already broke, Day-Day?
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course.
So, but what about this enforcement hand?
Yeah. Because are these guys going to get a penalty now? It's like, right? How can you get in trouble because you submitted the paperwork and no one got back to us?
Yeah. Look, this is all the stuff that people who get paid a lot more money than us are supposed to be figuring out. and supposed to be making the game better and certainly
not.
More fair and equitable. They're not. They're not. So, yeah, I don't know if it's broke. I just know it needs a lot of help.
No, there's a pregnant pause. No, I mean, it needed to be said.
It needed to be said.
No, I mean, look, just, I mean, all you can add is just everybody out there in their cars driving or at their office knows all you had to do is take a little percentage of the TV money. 30 years, 20 years ago, Carl, but that Mark Emmert, that big stuffed shirt country club doofus.
That gas bag.
Yeah, speaking of, now, there's a clown, gas bag and
clown,
a clown.
Clown.
Thank you. And talentless at that. But there's a guy, because, no, we must have the sanctity of amateurism. Get that out of here. You're generating billions of revenue in TV contracts. All you had to do was give the guys the walk around money,
Mike,
and we never would have had this debacle.
But we now know it wasn't necessarily about his ego or that he was a gas bag or a clown or talentless. This was about control.
Correct.
That's what this was
them
about.
Lining their pockets on March Madness.
That's what it was.
I always love like what the guy says, what's the NCAA for? I go, really? Well, the last time I checked, Carl and I were at the Final Four to put black tape over unofficial sponsors. So heaven forbid you see them at the arena
Everything.
Where the event is being staged. That's how, I mean, you talk about the money, Grub. You're right. From the WNBA commissioner.
Are you defending her? Yes. Okay. All right. Go ahead.
When it comes to the WNBA, our man here maintains objectivity. Yeah. Yeah. Sounds like a bad vibe. Everything I was reading about this yesterday, again, I'm not like what Mad Dog said on ESPN. I don't really follow this stuff, but when it comes to the but I'll give you an opinion on it anyway. But yeah, when it comes to WNBA, first off, you know, the lack of respect for Caitlin Clark from our fellow players, not seeing the forest for the trees. And then, you know, like if you're going to demand a raise, I don't like, yes, the equity, the values of these franchises have come up, but for the first 20 years, they were propped up by ESPN and the NBA teams in the first place. So I think a raise is due, but I think you got to do this thing incrementally. And certainly, Carl, if you're the WNBA players, don't lock yourself into a long-term deal either.
Yeah. Look.
But they need a little more, maybe a little more on the envelope, but they also got to have the presence of mind to know, stop alienating the fans who like Caitlin Clark.
They just signed a deal day-to-day with USA Network, right? New TV deal to air their games. 11-year media rights deal with USA Network. That's going to run through 2036.
Okay.
That's good, right? It gives them a chance to be in somewhere where people can find them. That's not some obscure – yes, because I have no idea what the hell that is. But, I just feel like as much as it's grown, there's still a long way to go with the WNBA. And if everybody's not on the same page, it's going to be a hard fight.
Right, you know where they're like at a crossroads. You don't need a lockout for them. If, for them, all the momentum, even with the Caitlin Clark injury, we still talk more WNBA this year than we ever did. You know, and I know the Atlanta team unfortunately came up short after a nice run.
Shouldn't have. They had the lead. They had the series.
But it's like this is what the NHL went through in the 90s. Anytime they had some juice, like the Rangers, you know, in the Stanley Cup Finals or the LA Kings with Gretzky, then like you know, 2 years later, labor issues, strikes, lockouts, blow it.
Yeah. Yeah, man, cannot wait. More football. We got big college football games this weekend. We're going to talk with Barbara Dooley and find out what she thinks about what went down last week in the loss to Alabama. But they also have to turn the page, guys, and we said this. Do not get caught sleeping. I don't think Kirby's going to allow that to happen. Kentucky's coming in on Saturday, another SEC opponent. Take care of business and keep this moving, Mike. Again, one loss does not derail your season. Mm-hmm. We know that. But you can't lose two or three and put it in the back of the minds of the committee once they start looking at this stuff.
Right.
Oh, well, you know what? Because I don't care what anybody says, Mike. Losing at home to Alabama, that's not a good loss.
Kroger, Barbara Dooley report coming up. How does she feel, Carl, about this Alabama thing? And I can't wait to get Barber's reaction. Carl, after they beat Kirby for another painful loss, they took some of the hedges. They took the shrubbery.
Well, they wouldn't be the first.
They took the shrubbery.
Is that still a, I guess it's still a thing.
Taking pieces of the hedges back to Tuscaloosa.
I know it was a thing with Georgia Tech for years, but...
I mean, a lot of teams have graveyards where they take sod from other fields, but Carl, not the shrubbery.
Not the shrubbery. Barber's on the way. Also, we will get back into this conversation about what happened last night on social media. Oh, you missed it? Don't worry. We'll fill you in. It's Dukes and Bell.
Okay.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.